And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. We've got open talk to begin the program today. We will be talking with guests a little bit later. But open talk to start out with. Phone number is 283-2525. We've had a few snow showers here in the Butler area this morning. Nothing too serious. Didn't accumulate or anything like that, but we did have some snow showers. A few flurries and then some downright snow showers. Reminded me of the sort of weather you see at the very beginning of winter, you know, around Veterans Day, just before Thanksgiving, or maybe at the end of winter, in late March or early April, when you get some of those snow squalls moving through. Not really typical January stuff, but then again, it's not been a typical January. We're in the second half of January as of today, and for the most part, we've been snow-free and very warm. That's changing. It's going to be much colder now. In fact, tonight, first thing tomorrow morning, 20 degrees. Of course, it's going to be worse than that in the middle of January. Very often we have single-digit temperatures or down near zero. We'll probably see that a time or two as we move through the latter part of winter, but thus far it's been really mild. Mildest winter that I can ever remember, quite frankly. And the least snow that I can ever remember up to this point. Halfway through January, for goodness sakes. Somebody, one of the younger people on the staff here today, as we were gathered around the water cooler, actually it was the coffee pot, but and I'm not quite sure how we started talking about men's clothes, but one of the younger staff members said, where did you, before Boskov's came to Butler, where did you shop for men's clothes? And I got involved in the conversation. Boskov's is about it these days, right? The great store, by the way. Closest thing that Butler has ever had to, Joseph Horn's or Kaufman's or something like that. But anyway, he wanted to know, where did guys shop for clothes? I said, well, there were several clothing stores downtown Butler. I can remember my mom taking me into Benson's. I think it was the name of the store, Benson's, to buy trousers when I was, 12, 13, something like that. And there were other men's stores, too, McCarran's, downtown. Not too far from Benson's, as I recall. You remember any others? 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. Let's get to the people here today. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Morning, Dave. Hi. We shopped at the Hub.
The Hub. You know, I was trying to think of that one when we were gathered around the coffee machine this morning, and I couldn't think of it. I knew there was a place where my dad used to buy hats.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was there. Now, I'm not talking about, ball caps, like pirate ball caps, but the old-fashioned fedora, the felt hats that men used to wear. You don't see them anymore these days.
Oh, yes, you do. My husband had two of them.
Well, good for him. But I'm pretty sure.
What happened to the funeral announcements?
They weren't on.
You didn't announce them today.
I must be honest with you. I was here in the studio, and I did not hear the new news today.
Yeah, well, they weren't on. I was waiting and waiting, but unless I missed them, I don't know.
Well, that sometimes happens to me when I'm not when I'm on the air, but sometimes if I'm listening to the radio at home and I'm waiting to hear the weather forecast, suddenly I realize that the weather has come and gone, and I missed it. So.
That means you're getting absent-minded. Yeah.
Where was the hub, by the way? Do you remember where it was downtown?
It was right above the corner store there, across from Troutman's. That corner store there. I think it was Davis's furniture store. Does that sound right?
I'm not sure. I know the building that you're talking about across from Troutman's. That's now a pasta restaurant, and that's where the Grand Ballroom is upstairs. But
I think it was right in along there that they were on the upper side of Cunningham Street.
So that would have been in the same block as Miller's Shoes, same side of the street as Miller's Shoes.
Yeah, by Miller's Shoes, that's where it was, yeah.
All right.
You're right.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad they're still making those felt hats, those fedoras. I do not have any, but...
Oh, yes, my husband has a black one and a brown one, and he looks so dignified wearing that I fall in love with him every time I see him wear one.
Boy, I better head out and get one right away. Thanks for
calling. You can still get them in New York City.
Nice to talk with you today. Thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The hub. I don't know whether that stood for something, or I have no idea where the name of the store came from, the hub. I'm pretty sure my dad went there to buy hats. I don't know whether they were famous for hats or I don't know. I was a little kid. 283-2525, our number, Open Talk. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hello, Dave. How you doing?
Pretty good.
That's good. Haven't talked to you since last decade, I guess it was.
You're absolutely correct on that. I never thought of it that way, but you're correct.
Yeah, I haven't heard Open Talk too much lately. You don't have it as much.
Well, you've got the floor today, let me tell you.
Okay, yeah. It was a couple weeks ago. There was that big bus and truck accident on the turnpike.
Yeah, horrible. Yeah.
It made the national news, and I heard, well, you had Open Talk there that couple days later, discussed it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know what these truck and bus drivers labor under now as far as electronic monitoring, most people not, associated or that don't know or aren't in trucking or whatever, don't know anything about it, just wanted to bring up and let people know that when they're driving down the road, these big truck drivers mainly know they have, it's called an ELD, an electronic logging device.
Oh, I didn't know anything about that.
Yes, it was like December 17 they came into effect across the board. Everyone has to have one.
I knew that commercial truck drivers had to keep a log because they're only allowed to drive so many hours a week, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a daily limit and weekly limit. Yeah, right. But, it was just a paper log prior to December 17.
So now it's all done electronically, huh?
Yes, they all have an electronic, it's like a clock there that you push buttons on and whatever, status. But these guys, this thing, you have to stop when that thing's ticking down on your dash all day. You can see it by the second ticking down.
Uh-huh.
And when it's done tick, you have to be stopped somewhere. So in conjunction with that, it's just another government boondoggle thing that's created the exact opposite of what it was intended to fix. There's a huge jump in truck crashes and truck driver deaths since this came in, but basically you can just imagine it yourself. Now you don't have any sort of, leeway at all. They're racing around like a monkey with their hair on fire now.
Just
racing this thing all day, every day.
So because they're trying to complete a run before the time limit, is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, there's just all kind of things come into play. They're trying to beat this thing, with not only getting their work done on, appointments and whatever, but just trying to get back home on the weekend or whatever, but it's just a hideous thing that, I mean, these technocrats think they can just control everything with this electronic stuff.
I have wondered, in a pure speculation, of course, on my part, about this horrible crash on the turnpike, whatever it was, a week and a half ago.
Yep.
The bus driver who had been driving the bus since it left New York City, and then it went across the river to New Jersey, and then obviously across New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and down the turnpike. He was scheduled to stop at the New Stanton interchange on the turnpike, and they were going to swap out crews, you know, have a new driver come in.
Uh-huh.
And this accident occurred, you know, it was at Mount Pleasant, which is...
Well, I mean, 30 miles from New Stanton.
Yeah.
Up there, 20.
He would have been in New Stanton in no time at all. And, you know, you can't help but think, gosh, you know, the end of his shift, driving most of the night, you know, maybe he got tired. I have no idea, of course. Unfortunately, the bus driver was among those who were killed. And it may have just been... I've seen helicopter aerial shots, video of that accident scene. It looked to me like it happened on a pretty sharp curve. Did you see that?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. It's a windy downhill when you're going west. It's downhill and lots of turns and narrow lanes and not much of a berm.
So it might...
It's a tricky spot.
You could have been wide awake, wide alert as anything, and still had problems, you know, on a downhill sharp curve, especially if there was any, you know, slick spots on the roads.
Oh, everybody's driving, extra. This electronic monitor thing has a lot to do with their whole mental, or, you know, their whole way of going down the road now, just doing all kind of stuff. There's been two people here at truck stops the last year run over and killed in the parking lots. Guys racing, you know what I mean, right in the parking lot where they're getting fuel, racing around.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is, they're all jacked up all the time now and having to pulling in front of trains, just on and on. But there's statistics now they come out with it. And I just saw the other day the Federal Motor Carrier Safety, and they're going to come out with a landmark study to try and determine why this great jump in crashes is happening.
Yeah, I have
amazing.
I have great respect for big truck drivers. It's a skillful profession, and you know there are also some. You sound like you know a good bit about commercial truck drivers. There are health risks because, you know, these guys are sedentary most of the time. They're sitting in a padded chair is what it amounts to. So many of them have medical problems, because of their work.
Yeah, well, especially now more so than in the 70s or whatever back. I don't know why, but food and stuff now. But, these used to be somewhat enjoyable. It was a trade-off. I mean, it was an enjoyable line of work, you know, but now they've taken the enjoyment out of it also, and you're just it's just unbelievable. There's a lot of people trying to get rid of it, but it doesn't seem to be gaining any traction to get rid of it. It's not going to go away, but I just wanted to, I didn't know, probably most people don't know that that's what these guys are going around. They're racing this thing constantly every day, and I don't know if you drive on 422 much, but it's just incredible how they go on 422 now, just as an example locally.
I was not aware of these new electronic things, but you talk about 422. I came down the bypass. I'm on it pretty much every day. And it was one day, it must have been Monday of this week, I go on up at Moraine Point. And this was a particularly busy time of day. It was around 2:30 in the afternoon. And as I drove from Moraine Point toward Route 8, toward Bonaire, it was incredible. All four lanes, both directions, were just full of cars. And I'm thinking, my gosh, Can you imagine what it was, what it would be like through downtown Butler before this bypass was built? Because Route 422 used to go right through downtown.
Right. Yeah, that's what I wonder about. Old 422 and that, that used to be the main truck routes. Just what those now. Well, that was the good old days when it was probably, it was somewhat fun yet back then. But like I say, they just took all the, and these guys are racing around, and it's just the beginning of these automatic electronic control devices. They have what it was recently, that technology show in Vegas, Electronics.
Yeah, I did a show on it last week.
Yeah, well, I guess one of the main draws, the main interest things were all new, well, for cars and trucks, big trucks, whatever, commercial stuff, these driver monitoring systems that watch your, like, facial recognition, watching your eyes blink, or just even taking a read on your biochemistry and stuff.
Hmm.
So,
news to me.
Driving's not too much fun anymore.
Well, I appreciate you calling it to my attention. That's news to me.
Okay, Dave. Yeah, I just thought I'd chime in with that. That's
good to talk with you.
Subjective. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yep, goodbye.
Sure. So long. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk here on the It's Your Turn program today. 283-2525. Are we missing any of the men's stores? It used to be in downtown Butler, and it was Benson's for sure, McCarran's, and the Hub, as that earlier caller said. I don't think, right? Men's store downtown? There was a place called the J Shop, and that was for girls, I think. I can remember my mom going in there to buy stuff for my two younger sisters, but they were little girls at the time, and they didn't sell men's clothes or boys, I don't think. 283-2525, our number, open talk. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hello.
I think the Hub is where DeWalt's health food store is right now.
Mm.
And I think I'm almost pretty sure there's still the sign, or you know, the on the front of it, or else it might be the floor that goes into DeWalt's health food, the way it's laid out. I think it has the Hub's name on it. Yet.
Oh, wow. I'll have to check that out the next time I'm up at Miller's Shoes.
I'm 99% positive of that.
That's pretty close to Miller's Shoes. So I'll have to check it out the next time.
Yeah, it's right there beside Miller's Shoe Store.
Huh.
And I remember the Hub. And, you know, I mean, of course, I'm dating myself.
Well,
I remember that. I don't know whether it was when came to Butler, whether it was there or whether it came afterwards, but I came to Butler in 1955.
I don't know whether, you know, sometimes when you're a little kid, you get these vivid, I do at least, these vivid snapshot memories.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I can remember, you know, going in there with my dad when I was a little kid, and it just seemed like there were a million hats in there. You know, these felt fedora type things, and that's my imagination.
That.
I have no idea.
J Shop, I remember that name. It seems to me it was down there. Was it where Isley's was? It was on the side of the street. I know.
Yeah, it was on the other. It was on North Main Street, not South Main, where we were talking
seems
about
to me
before.
It was down there. I'm trying to think what's in there now.
But that was mainly a shop for clothing for young
children.
Girls, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Or kids, babies?
Right.
All righty. Well, listen, thanks for the info.
Right, and if you know, just take a look at that, because I'm pretty sure it's I think it's like in a circle or something, like it's an inlaid thing on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a,
you know, as you go
like
into
a,
it, the entry. You don't have to go into the store.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it has the Hub on it. If not, it has it above the doorway.
Well, by gosh, I'm going to check it out.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. 283-2525, our number. It's open talk here today. Hi there, caller. Thanks for waiting. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn. Hello? There's nobody there. Thought there was somebody on that line. No? Maybe not. We'll go to this line then. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hello, Dave.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing good. There used to be a men's store called King's. It wasn't in business too long, but it was on the corner of right on the corner of North. It's right uptown.
Well, you got me on
Jefferson
that one.
Jefferson and Maine. It was on the corner of Jefferson and Maine.
Oh, wow.
And it was a men's store. And that hub, that was a men's store. They sold clothes, too, you know.
Uh-huh.
I remember getting a jacket there years ago.
I don't remember King's. You say it might not have been there very long?
No, I don't think it was there too long. It would probably be in the late 50s, as far as my memory goes.
Yeah, I'll trust you, but I don't remember.
Oh,
that.
Yeah, it was there, and there's a bank in there now.
Mm. Okay, I know.
If I can find out. What's the bank's name?
I know.
There's a bank there.
I know the building you're talking about. I know the building you're talking about. All right.
And
go ahead.
I was going to say, you're talking about the hub.
Yeah.
The store behind it, I mean, beside it at the time was John Hunt's Furniture Store.
Oh. That was the building on the corner, huh?
Right.
Okay.
That was John Hunt's Furniture Store.
I was to the
that
best...
That I'm positive.
Best of my knowledge, I was never in that store, so...
Well, it had, like, classier furniture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was supposed to have good furniture at the time.
Expensive stuff, huh?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, okay, thanks for the call. Hey, nice to talk with you today. Thanks for joining us.
Same here.
All right.
Bye.
Sure. So long. Let's go to this line next. Hi, caller. Dave here. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Dave, I wanted to tell you about the men's store.
Yes.
That was in Butler. McCarran's.
Yes, McCarran's. I can remember going in there to see Mr. McCarran.
Yes. I just wanted to tell you, I didn't think anyone had mentioned that.
I mentioned it in passing, but I didn't talk about it very much. It was, as I remember it at least, it was pretty close to that other men's store we were talking about, Benson's. Weren't they fairly close to each other?
Yes, they were. I think they were side by side. And then the hub was right in there also.
Yeah, but the hub was on one of our
on the other
early,
side of the street.
Yeah, other side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we had a bunch of them all together back in the day, huh?
Yes, it was easy.
You could go downtown and get about anything you wanted, and you only had to walk a block or so.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
Thanks for the call, my friend. Good to talk with you.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye. I think we have time for one more call here before we've got to go to our first guest. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Dave, I got three of them for you.
Okay.
Sigels?
I don't know that one.
I don't remember. It was on Main Street.
And it was a men's store?
Betty Guckman's. It was down on South Main Street, down in behind the Willard. There was a Nest on North Main.
Wow. I've never heard of any of those three. Wow. So we're talking when? 50s? 40s? When would these stores have been around? Oops. I guess we lost them. I must say I've never heard of any of those three. Well, it could have been, you know, well before my time. Not sure. Listen, we have to take a break because we're going to be talking, coming up on the next segment of the program, about organ donation. Organ donation. There's a regional organization here in western Pennsylvania that works to secure organs, human organs, for transplant patients. And they just came out with a news story yesterday, I think, that they had a record year last year. Apparently more people are signing up to be organ donors. We'll get the story from Colleen Sullivan, who will join us here on the It's Your Turn program coming up in just a couple of minutes. Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart and their Client Aid Program. And the Client Aid Program helps needy families or individuals, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month, Client Aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it. Next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others.
Michael's Restaurant is now open for breakfast at 7 a.m. Join us for breakfast any day of the week, including after church on Sundays. Have you made plans for dinner yet? Bring the family for a great home-cooked meal. Michael's Restaurant also offers great Sunday dinner specials, stuffed chicken breasts, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way, getting there stops here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical, just hop the bus. No car, no problem, the bus will get you there. Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening, every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
We're going to be talking about organ donation, organ recovery. Here on the next segment of It's Your Turn on WISR, I'm Dave Malarkey, and our guest visiting with us by telephone is Colleen Sullivan. She is the Communications Director for CORE, C-O-R-E. Hi, Colleen. Nice to have you with us today.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
There's recent news about CORE that we're going to talk about here in just a couple of moments, but I want to make sure that we have all of our audience members on the same page. Some will have heard of CORE previously. Others will have no idea what we're talking about. So first of all, CORE is an acronym. What does it stand for, Colleen?
CORE stands for the Center for Organ Recovery and Education.
And you're headquartered in Pittsburgh, right, here in Western Pennsylvania.
We are. We're in Western Pennsylvania. We service Western Pennsylvania and almost the entire state of West Virginia.
Are there other CORE organizations in other parts of the country, Colleen?
Yes. Across the United States, there are 58 organ procurement organizations, which is what we are, and we all service different territories.
It still amazes me, and I'm sure many of our listeners, to think that we can talk about this in a rather matter-of-fact way. Organ replacement, for goodness sakes. Wow, what a medical miracle, huh?
Right, and you think about the history that we have here in Pittsburgh with Dr. Thomas Starzl and how we've been able to found liver transplantation right here in Pittsburgh and in Western Pennsylvania. It's pretty amazing what we've been able to accomplish and set the roots for the rest of the country.
Well, the big news out just this month, as a matter of fact, just within the past few days, CORE, the Center for Organ Recovery and Education, announcing that last year, 2019, was a record-breaking year. Can you detail that for us, please, Colleen?
Yes, thank you, Dave. We are very excited that in 2019 that we were able to increase the number of organ donors that we had, those that are selflessly giving the greatest gift, the gift of life. And with those donors, we had 253 organ donors. We were able to save 661 lives through organ donation. Pretty remarkable, and a very generous gift that these individuals are giving.
Absolutely. And that was an all-time record for the local, the regional CORA organization?
Yes, this was an all-time record for us. This was about a 10% increase from last year.
Wow. What about the number of people who have agreed to be donors? Has that been increasing as well, Colleen?
That has. We are working diligently to increase that number of the folks that are designated on their driver's license. And we are roughly around 50% in Western Pennsylvania. We are working tirelessly to increase that number because the more folks that have said yes, the more lives that we can save. We do have a bit of a discrepancy because 90% of the population supports donation, yet only 50% in Western Pennsylvania have taken action. So we're working to convert that other 40% that believes in donation, believes that it's the right thing to do.
I wonder about the discrepancy. Why would that be? Some people are, for any number of reasons, hesitant to sign up to be an organ donor.
Sure. A lot of folks don't want to think about what may come down the road or in the future, thinking about passing away or having to make any of those decisions. And then there are others that have heard myths and misconceptions. There are a few myths that folks have heard and they believe and have not registered because of that, one of which would be I've heard that if I register on my driver's license that the hospital or the medical professionals will not work to save my life because they know I'm a donor, and that couldn't be further from the truth. The medical staff and the professionals are working to save lives, and donation is not considered until all life-saving efforts have been exhausted, and we are a completely separate entity from the hospital staff.
You do have partnerships, however, with many hospitals in the region, do you not?
We do. We have partnerships with our hospitals in Western Pennsylvania and West Virginia, where the hospitals will call in referrals to us. Mm-hmm. We do have great partnerships, and the hospitals have partnered with us to increase the awareness for donation and sharing how important it is for folks to register. You're actually more likely to need a transplant than to actually meet the criteria to become an organ donor. So it's important that folks understand and are educated more on donation and transplantation.
And, of course, not all hospitals do transplant surgery. This is still a very specialized area. You mentioned the late Dr. Thomas Starzl, who just died within the past couple of years. He was one of the pioneers in transplant surgery. There are any number of factors that make this more difficult. One, and I'm not a medical person, Colleen, so please correct me if I'm wrong here, but one of the big hurdles that had to be overcome, as I understand it, is that the human body, in all of its greatness, tries to reject foreign intrusion, right?
Correct. So as the organ is transplanted, it is automatically the body's response to try to get rid of this foreign object. But doctors like Dr. Starzl and others have worked on groundbreaking rejection medication to ensure that the organ that's being transplanted is able to adapt well within the body and be able to allow this individual many, many years to come with this organ. There are a few medications that someone may have to take, but year over year, as we continue to get smarter and produce better medications, the number of medications are going down for those individuals.
We're talking, if you've joined us a little bit late on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, we're talking with Colleen Sullivan. Colleen is the representative, the communications director for CORE here in our region, Western Pennsylvania Tri-State Area. CORE is the Center for Organ Recovery and Education. And when you think about this, folks, just so you're not confused, CORE doesn't do transplant surgeries. We have incredible hospitals and surgeons now who are able to do this work. But the problem is finding an organ that is a match for a patient who needs an organ. and that's what you do, right? At core, Colleen, you try to find the match, right?
Correct. We are the link between donors and those that are giving that life-saving gift and the recipients. So we are facilitating the donation process, working with grieving families at the time of their loss, and working to allocate and ensure that all of the organs are going to the appropriate recipients.
By the way, well, we're mentioning the record-breaking year for donations last year in 2019. This achievement comes only a short time after CORE was selected as a Malcolm Baldrige National Quality Award winner. What's that mean, Colleen?
Well, this has been a very long journey for us. We have been on the Baldrige Excellence journey for quite some time, and the reason we've been on this performance journey is to push ourselves and to be better and to ensure that we are able to save and heal more lives, saving lives in form of transplantation, healing the lives of donor families through their loss, also healing the lives of those through tissue recipients, tissue transplants. And we really have been focusing on the performance journey to make ourselves better. It's been a very long time. We've been on the journey for about 7 or 8 years. It is the highest level of recognition for performance excellence that is recognized by the president. So we are extremely honored to have received this award and recognition, and won't stop here because there are still people that are waiting. So we'll continue our journey to be better and to save and heal more lives.
So you not only do your job, you do it well, huh?
Yeah. We like to think so.
I want to go over a little bit for our listeners just what happens, because you mentioned earlier that one reason why some people may be hesitant to become an organ donor, to sign up to do that, is because of a worry that, you know, hospital staff might not work as hard to save their life if they've been in a bad auto crash or something like that. Not true. Not even remotely true. So let's go through this a little bit hypothetically, Colleen. Say someone is in a serious auto accident. They rush to the hospital. A hospital staff works diligently to, you know, try to save their life, but a patient is not even evaluated for a donation until after imminent or actual death has been established. Correct?
That is correct. We only come into the process once actual or imminent death has, we've received the notification of that. And after that point, that's when we're working with the family to provide the opportunity, or maybe the individual has made that decision on their own and they've put it on their driver's license and shared that decision with the family. So, yes, you're correct, Dave. We're not coming into play until all life-saving efforts have been exhausted and the hospital has done everything. Hey, we're in the mission of saving and healing lives. So any way that lives can be saved, that's what we're working to do. So the only way that we come into the process is if there's nothing more that the hospital can do for that individual.
And brain death, which most commonly occurs after a horrendous traffic crash or a head injury or a stroke or something like that. So there's some initial screening that's done once you are notified, determining the donor's suitability for organ or tissue or cornea donation. And then if that's found to be suitable, then authorization from the family. And then you have to go to a national database, I guess, right, to try to find somebody for whom that might be a match.
Correct. And it's a very unique opportunity to actually become a donor, because the majority of our donors are passing from brain death or donation after circulatory death, but the majority from brain death, and there's less than 2% of the population that pass away of brain death every year. So it's a very unique opportunity. And you're correct. From there, we're working with the family. If the individual has made that decision already, that's legally binding, and we work with the family, and hopefully the loved one has shared that information with their family, and then we're working through the allocation process. And we do put that through the National Registry or through the database and to see who the appropriate matches would be. And then we're working to ensure that all of the organs are going to the appropriate recipients and working on the coordination behind the scenes for the organ recovery and the ORs.
There are a tremendous number of people, even with the record number of donors for CORE here regionally. Last year, there are still a record number of people who are waiting for a transplant, correct, Colleen?
Yes, we have more than 113,000 people waiting for a life-saving transplant.
Wow. It's amazing to think of the advance that's been made, just within our lifetimes. Heck, I can remember when I was still in school, first hearing about cornea transplants from the eye. That was, to my knowledge, the first thing that was ever transplanted successfully. But look at how that has changed. My goodness, what else can we transplant now? Kidneys, liver, right? Lots of stuff.
Yes, heart, lung, liver, kidneys, pancreas, intestine, small bowel. There are many organs that can be transplanted. The record number that's waiting for a transplant is kidneys. We have nearly 100,000 people waiting for a life-saving kidney transplant.
Just a couple of other notes here before we wrap up. You mentioned early in our conversation that here in the tri-state area for CORE, there were a record number of organ donors last year, just over 250. But that made possible more than 660 life-saving organ transplants. So obviously, multiple organs were taken from some organ donors, not just a kidney or a cornea or something like that.
Correct. The majority of time, one person is able to save many lives through donation. The most that someone could save is 8 lives. At times, actually, there have been occurrences that we've been able to save 9 lives, and they can split the liver and take a section of the liver and give it to most likely a pediatric patient or a very small adult or young adult, and we're able to save many lives. And as you're right, through the advancements, there's just more and more opportunities that we have with donation.
Every 10 minutes, folks, according to these statistics I saw from CORE, every 10 minutes, someone new is added to the organ transplant waiting list. And finally, Colleen, how can people who are so moved sign up to be an organ donor after their death? It's been made pretty easy here in Pennsylvania now, hasn't it?
Yes, thank you, Dave. We can go online and you can register. It takes less than 30 seconds. You do not have to wait till you go back to the DMV. You can go to core.org. /register, and you can register today.
And you don't have to wait until your driver's license needs renewed. You can do that anytime.
Correct.
Colleen Sullivan is Communications Director from CORE. Nice to chat with you, Colleen. Thanks for spending some time with us, and congratulations on your record-breaking year in 2019.
Thank you, Dave. You have a great day.
And you. So long.
Why pay more when you can get tobacco for less? Their store in Pullman Square Plaza includes a custom walk-in humidor stocked with a great variety of cigars and a 19-foot vape juice bar. Not to mention their Western Pennsylvania's largest glass emporium. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department supplies a wide selection of high-quality CBD products and is always adding to their product lines. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less, with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Tri Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers congratulates orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon Dr. William Saar for being named a best doc by Pittsburgh Magazine for the third straight year.
I'm Dr. William Saar with Tri Rivers. Whether you suffer a foot or ankle related trauma, such as a fracture or dislocation, or require reconstructive foot and ankle surgery, I rely on my extensive experience and specialized training to get you back on your feet. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please visit tririversmsk.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
The winter weather is quickly approaching. That means stopping at Osterling's Lawn and Garden should be at the top of your to-do list. Stock up on rock salt, snow shovels, and PetSafe snow melter to ensure that you are ready for those freezing cold weeks. Osterling's even has great pet items like grain-free dog biscuits, PetSafe dog harnesses and collars, indoor pet gates, and 40-pound bags of dog food. For everything you'll need this winter, find it at Osterling's Lawn and Garden.
Want to see some neat things without driving very far, folks? Well, there's a lot of stuff right around western Pennsylvania in the Pittsburgh area that you may not have seen yet. We're going to talk about that with our guest on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Dave Malarkey is my name. We chat via the telephone with author Rosalind Colgan. Hi, Rosalind. How are you?
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
You have just published the second edition of your book, 100 Things to Do in Pittsburgh Before You Die. I love the title, by the way. That's pretty good.
Thank you.
A little bit about...
Nothing if not dramatic, for sure.
Well, it gives you a little bit of a laugh, and that's what you have to
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
Who did you write this book for? People from out of town, visitors, or people who live right here?
Good question. It is a little bit of both. So in the book, you'll find Pittsburgh classics. So those are great for newcomers or if you have visitors coming into town. But you'll also find hidden gems in Pittsburgh. And I have grown up, I grew up in Westmoreland County. I live in the Strip District now. My family has long roots in Pittsburgh. And there were still things that we were learning about. I took my parents on some of the adventures. They've lived here for many decades, and we learned a lot of new things. So there's a lot to explore, even if you've lived here forever. And I bet I might stump you with something new.
I bet you could, even though I'm a lifelong resident of western Pennsylvania. I want to mention before I forget here, just in case there are some folks, you know, listening to the radio in the car and they have to leave us before we wrap up. Rosalind will be making a personal appearance this weekend, right, at the Barnes & Noble in Cranberry?
Yes, that's exactly right. This coming Saturday, January 18th, we'll be at the Barnes & Noble in Cranberry from 1 until 3. So come on by if you'd like a copy, a signed copy of the book, and we can help plan your Pittsburgh adventure for 2020.
You'll be signing copies if people want to get a signed copy?
Yes, absolutely. And giving out free event advice for people who are interested in having some new Pittsburgh adventures this year.
That's the Barnes & Noble in Cranberry, big store. Been there many times.
Yep.
So how did you come up with this list of 100 things, Rosalind, to put in your book?
Well, that was very challenging. So I thought 100 seems like a big number, and then as soon as I started writing, I realized that, in fact, it wasn't. And there are so many more than 100 things. So I started out by asking for recommendations from friends, family, on social media, and then I had a really long list, which was probably closer to 200 things. So then, at that point, I started doing my research and going out to the places that were on the list that I had never experienced before and kind of deciding what was a must, which was very difficult to sift that list. But I came up with the 100 that I thought were the most unique and the most appealing and hit as many different parts of the city as possible.
A few years back, we had a reunion of my fraternity pledge brothers, and we had it in Pittsburgh, and they came from all over. We have some from this area, some from Philadelphia, some from New York State, some from Rhode Island, and when we all gathered in Pittsburgh for a long weekend, there were certain things that these folks wanted to do. One of them was go take the incline up to the top of Mount Washington and take pictures up there because they had heard about that. Another one, and this surprised me, there were several of my fraternity brothers who wanted to go to the spot where Bill Mazeroski's home run went over the left field wall at Forbes Field, which, of course, is no longer there. But there's a little
right.
there's a little memorial right there on the edge of Schenley
yes.
Park.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, there are hidden gems like that throughout Pittsburgh. The inclines, of course, are classic. And whether you're a newcomer or you have visitors, I love the inclines. How many times I have ridden them, I can't even count. But that experience is just magical, I think, and it's so unique to Pittsburgh. So I love it, no matter if you've done it, you know, one time or 10, it's still something really special.
There are two, actually. Are they both still running,
mm-hmm.
both the inclines?
Yes, they are. And if you have some time and you like to walk, I like to start at 1, so I'll park at Station Square and go up and then walk. It's about a mile down Grandview, and you get a beautiful view along the way, and take the other down and then walk back to your car. So you do need some time, and you need to have your walking shoes on, but I really think that you get an amazing view, a different view, from each of them, and it's worth the chance to try them both.
Well, there are some intriguing things in Rosalind's book, 100 Things to Do in Pittsburgh Before You Die. This one intrigues me. Would you like to see the biggest waterfall near the city? There's one nearby. I don't know where that is, Rosalind.
Yes, this is a tricky one. So you would be very surprised if you saw the picture. You might guess it's somewhere in the Laurel Highlands, somewhere at Ohio Pile, but in fact, there's a gorgeous waterfall in Shaler. It is in Fall Run Park, and what I love about this waterfall is that it's very accessible. So it's about a mile walk on a trail, and it's not too challenging of a hike. And then you're rewarded after a mile with this extraordinary waterfall. Highly recommend it, and I also love to feature free things to do in the books. And of course, this one is free, so that's a great thing to do with your family. And it's really extraordinary to get outside in the summertime and see people playing in the water. It's beautiful.
And where was that again? I didn't catch that.
That is Fall Run Park, and that is in Shaler.
Ah, okay. I'm not familiar with that park. Well, as I told you, I didn't know.
Yeah, don't feel bad, because it is nestled inside of essentially a housing plan. So you wouldn't know that it's there. It doesn't have the same kind of, media attention that Frick Park does. It is this tiny little park that is a gem that most people don't know about. So it's worth the drive.
Now, you also have in your book a pub that you might want to check out, a bar somewhere, right?
Well, several, yes. So there are all kinds of different bars and food options in the book, too. So there's everything from Jack's, which is the iconic bar on the south side that's open just about every hour of the day. They are open from, I believe, 7 a.m. until 2 a.m. They're even open on Christmas, and Jack's Bar is a classic Pittsburgh dive bar. It's worth it. Even if dive bars aren't your thing, it's worth checking out Jack's and going and grabbing a beer.
So.
And then there is another bar that I want to mention, which is Hidden Harbor. That's located in Squirrel Hill. And what I love about Hidden Harbor is you're right in the heart of Squirrel Hill on Shady Avenue, but it feels like you have been transported to the tropics. It's a tiki bar. They make these extraordinary tiki drinks with fresh ingredients. The garnishes are some of the most beautiful you'll ever see, and it's just a wonderful experience where you're getting to feel like you're on vacation a little bit without ever leaving Pittsburgh.
If you're into art or history, the first things that come to my mind, Rosalind, would be the Andy Warhol Museum or the Heinz History
mm-hmm.
Center. Are there other places where we can see art and history?
Yes, absolutely. Those are two of my favorites. But history, local history and art are two of my favorite things. So you'll see, as you said, you'll see kind of the iconic spots in here, but you'll also see things like Unblurred, which is an art crawl on Penn Avenue in Garfield. And if you go to that, you'll get to see some more local art. You'll get to see things that maybe aren't in the Carnegie Museum yet, but hopefully they will be someday. And you'll get to experience the galleries along Penn Avenue. It's a really fun time. You'll hear live music. You'll get to see performing arts, creative arts, just about anything you can imagine. That's Unblurred. And then in terms of history, what I love about history is I've tried to weave the theme of Pittsburgh history throughout as many entries as possible. And even at a local distillery, Wiggle Whiskey, you can learn a lot about Pittsburgh history. So in addition to sampling some of their whiskeys, they also do a history tour. And if you've never done it before, you really ought to, because they tell you all about the history of the Whiskey Rebellion here in Western Pennsylvania. It's a blast. They are located in the Strip District, and at the end of your history tour, you get to sample whiskey. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, the Whiskey Rebellion, as I recall from my history class, was a notable event.
Oh, goodness, yes.
First President George Washington actually sending federal troops against American citizens. Big deal. And it happened right here.
It is. Right here, right in our backyard.
Yeah, absolutely. You obviously, you know, you're focusing on the themes of discovery and exploration. It sounds like you're a pretty seasoned traveler yourself. Have you been able to travel a lot, Rosalind?
Yes, I have been fortunate enough to get to do my share of traveling throughout the U.S. and through Europe as well, but there's so many more places to see, and what this book has opened my eyes to is how to plan a trip. So anytime my friends are looking for recommendations of where to eat or what to do on their travels, they are always asking me, because I have learned really how to find those hidden gems, how to find the off-the-beaten-path places. I say for this book, and every trip I go on, I say that I read to the end of the internet about whatever place I'm writing about, because it takes a lot of research. You know, you maybe aren't going to find the places that are the big name in the headlines. It's easy to find those, but to find the places that are more unique takes a lot of searching. So that has been a really cool thing to learn, and I love to help people plan adventures that are a good fit for them, which has been a hallmark of my book signings. It's, you know, more than just getting a book signed, it's also like, hey, let's talk about what you like to do. Let me help you find stuff that you haven't done in Pittsburgh but you ought to.
I think that's part of the fun, finding a hidden gem
for sure.
Every once in a while. Do you have some places to see for younger people of all ages? Obviously, some kids are, you know, not going to be going to a distillery or a hidden bar
sure.
somewhere. Are there things for all ages, Rosalind?
Yes, absolutely. And in the back of the book, it's broken down with sample itineraries. So you'll see, for example, things that are good for date night or things that are good to do with the whole family, with young kids. So a few of my favorites are the Children's Museum, which obviously is iconic here in Pittsburgh. If you haven't taken your kids to the Children's Museum, you've got to. It's a blast. I don't have children of my own, but when I've gone there with my cousins, just seeing the delight and the joy that they have when they explore this museum. And really it appeals to many ages of child. So whether you've got an early learner, whether you've got a kid who's maybe a little bit older, there's something there for them. And I also love Carnegie Science Center for kids. Again, there's something there for kids of all ages. They have revamped recently their early learner section. So if you've got a little kiddo, there's a lot for them to learn. And I love for both of those that the kids are not only learning, but they're having fun while they're learning. So they don't even really know they're learning. You're kind of teaching them something new, and they're like, I'm having a good time. And yet they walk away having learned so much.
And for adults, if you haven't been there since you were a kid and went on a field trip to Buell Planetarium, you might want to check out Carnegie Science Center as well. You mentioned, Rosalind, yeah. Our time begins to run short here. You mentioned that you're a native of Westmoreland County. What town? Where?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so I grew up in Penn Township. I went to Penn Trafford High School. I grew up on a farm out there, and nowadays I live in the Strip District. So big change. It's much louder in my new home.
We're talking to Rosalind Colgan because the second edition of her book, 100 Things to Do in Pittsburgh Before You Die, is out. And you can pick up a copy and meet Rosalind this Saturday at the Barnes & Noble bookstore in Cranberry. Can you go over the details of that once again, Rosalind?
Absolutely. This coming Saturday, it is from 1 until 3 o'clock. And you can get a book signed. We'll talk about what to do this year in Pittsburgh, how to make your own Pittsburgh bucket list. But this Saturday from 1 to 3 at the Barnes & Noble in Cranberry.
How nice to meet you, Rosalind. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us here today on the radio.
It was a pleasure, and happy exploring.
All right, you too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been so busy getting ready for the holidays that you totally forgot to get your vehicle ready for the winter. No worries. West End Tire and Service kept their snow tire inventory up, but don't wait too long as they're harder to come by later in the season. West End Tire and Service prides itself on offering the same great service, installation, and staff as Siemens provided for years. Their trained technicians will check your air pressure and do tire evaluations for free. Anytime. Stop in and see what's new and be sure to visit them on Facebook. West End Tire Service today, West Cunningham Street next to Battery Warehouse Plus Butler.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 1230 to 130, right here on WISR 680.
You gotta try.